We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we have got a great show for you today. In this half hour, we're going to be talking with Rabbi Mendel Loschak, who is the Chabad representative, first responder in Santa Barbara. Everybody knows what's going on over there. There's still people missing. They're still looking. Hopefully, we can hear some good news from them and from Rabbi Loschak. The portion of the week, which we'll be discussing in the second half hour of the show, is the portion of Bow. It's found in Exodus chapter 10 and following, and this is where the Exodus actually occurs in this week's Parsha. That's where the Passover happens. We have a wonderful assortment of music scattered throughout the show. We have a terrific story, very poignant story. At the end, stay tuned all the way through to 11:58. You want and won't want to miss that. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Arab rioters clashed with Israeli security forces across Judea, Samaria, and along the Gaza border, throwing firebombs and stones at security forces. Two Arabs were killed by IDF fire. Rabbi Raziel Shavach, a 33-year-old father of six, was killed in a drive-by shooting near Shechem. IDF forces are still looking for the terrorist who killed him. Imad al-Alami, one of Hamas's most senior officials in Gaza, was critically wounded when his personal firearm accidentally discharged, shooting him in the head. The Syrian government confirmed that the Israeli air forces struck an Syrian army weapons depot outside of Damascus, destroying the facility. The Israeli government unanimously approved the 2019 state budget for $117 billion. The first thing that impresses me is that it was unanimous. No one once said, hey, wait a minute. Now, $117 billion, if you compare it, like Israel's the same size and population about New Jersey. New Jersey's budget is $34 billion, but I guess they don't have to pay for, like, military and stuff. Israel, budget-related, is closing its consulate in Atlanta, citing budget cutbacks. Also facing closure are the Israeli embassies in Ireland, Belarus, Eritrea, the Dominican Republic, the consulate of the Indian city of Bengaluru, and an embassy in either Latvia or Lithuania. Two kosher supermarkets were destroyed in suburban Paris on the third anniversary of the slaying of four Jews at Hyper-Kasher Market. No one was hurt in the fire. They're investigating it as arson as the store's protective shutters had been forced open. A firebomb was thrown at the El Jerba synagogue on the Tunisian island of Jerba, causing minor damage but no injuries. Tunisia is having civil unrest due to economic woes. And finally, and this really is a finally, an express train between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem will be running in time for Passover. The train will run for up to six times an hour and will take 26 minutes, traveling at close to 100 miles an hour. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We are online with Rabbi Mendel Loschek, who is the Chabad rabbi in Santa Barbara, California, which has just suffered horrible tragedy with the mudslides, as everybody's following the news. How are you, Rabbi Mendel? How's your family?
We are okay, Baruch Hashem. Still kind of dealing with the Mishagas, the craziness that's going on over here.
I understand. Let's go back a little bit of history. Somebody was commenting to me, we here in the Midwest have just gotten through and now entering again this polar vortex business where the temperature just like drops right through the floor. And someone said, I'm moving to California. And I said, yeah, earthquakes, forest fires, mudslides. Yeah. So there's no place perfect on earth, I guess. But so tell us about what's a mudslide? We don't have hills in Michigan, so we don't know about things like falling from one place to the other. How does this all happen?
Well, from my knowledge of just living here, we have these wonderfully beautiful mountains that kind of run along the city here. And when they're full of vegetation and trees and whatever else grows on the mountain there, so it holds the mountain strong, and as the rainfall, it either soaks up the rain or just keeps the mountain strong with all the roots, et cetera, and everything on the mountain. And then we just had, as you know from the news, I'm sure, this incredibly large forest fire right here in the mountains. And that completely destroyed and burnt up all of the vegetation on the mountains. And now you have this bare mountain. And then comes this huge rain, and it came all at once, it seems like. And, everything coming together, the mountain's there, rain's coming down, and it starts to create this huge mud. And then the mud just gathers, and then just slides down, and it came right down into the city here.
Wow. This is like scary. I mean, but people, of course, being the way that people are, I'm sure that, like, the biggest and the best and the fanciest houses, those are like sitting on top of what became this mudslide. Is that right?
Yes and no. I mean, there are many, many the nice homes in the mountainous areas. And but obviously it didn't discriminate what kind of house it was. And yes and no, some yes, some no. And, you know, it just came, they did tell everybody to evacuate. I think that was another kind of, because of everything that was going on, everyone trying to evacuate. And some people saying, it's just worst case scenario, people, there's, you know, we're just going to make it through this. But, it just came down and just whatever was in its way.
So I know your wife was out and it took her a couple of days to even get back in, but describe, okay, was there just like a big like rush, like a wave, like a tidal wave of mud that came into the city of Santa Barbara?
Yeah, it was. It was like that. There was also a creek that that runs through the city. If you've seen it on the news, the little neighborhood is called Montecito, where it was the actual worst slide there. And that this large creek that just normally is barely, you know, barely any water in it, and then the rains came so quickly, just completely overflowed and started to just move debris and mud with it. So it was just a bunch of things happening, and it was very quick. It was very quick, and then it's quick enough that the roads, people didn't even know the roads were closed, because the personnel and the CHP, whoever was going to close the roads, couldn't even get to those roads from where they were to close them, and people just getting stranded on the freeways, on the roads, just because it was just so quick.
Okay, so did Santa Barbara basically become, like, walled off from the rest of the rest of California at that point?
Pretty much. They there's a perimeter where the worst of it is, and The one large road or freeway into town is the 101, and that's completely closed, and all the side surface streets are completely closed. So if you want to get to somewhere on the other side of that, if you're coming from the south, we are north of Los Angeles. So if you want to come from Los Angeles and go north, you're going to get stopped. So people are going inland from L.A., going all the way up inland, and then going back to the coast and coming back down again to get into the city. But it's pretty much closed us off from anything south, at least any easy way of getting there.
Okay, so
they just opened up the trains. So there's a train a couple times a day, goes back and forth. My wife, as you mentioned, she had gotten stuck in Los Angeles on the other side of this whole storm. And she had to, at that time, there was no trains yet. She had to take a ferry. So there was a ferry from the neighboring cities south of us that were going back and forth.
A ferry. Wow. That's okay. So how much before first of all, now, so the weather is such that it's raining, it's torrenting, right? You've got horrible rain coming down. So how long did it take, or how much rain has there fallen? How long was it raining for before the evacuation notice went out, Rabbi Loshak?
Actually, they preempted it. They sent out the evacuation notice early. They were worried about this. It's not a secret and a surprise if the mountains are that bare from a fire and there is a large rain at the same time, this could happen. It just has never happened like this or on this type of a scale. So I think maybe not everybody, as you see, people were in it. Maybe people after the fire also, they were just evacuated as well. The same neighborhoods were just evacuated because of the fire, and they were able to keep the fire away from the neighborhood. So, yeah, maybe people just frustrated or for whatever reason just saying, you know, we're just going to wait this one out and we'll be fine. But many people did listen, and I do know many people that just left, and they still haven't come back because they just see pictures online from how their neighborhood looks.
Okay, so now describe the scenario. Where were you? What were you doing when the mudslide happened?
Well, it's kind of trying to imagine. The craziness of it is 1 mile or one area could be completely devastated, and just down the road is completely it's raining, but you don't really appreciate what's going on just right next to you. I think that's kind of what it was with us where we live, because we live maybe a few miles from there, and where we live, we're yearning for rain in the neighborhood in general because California is always such a dry climate. And so it's the first thought when things rain is always, oh, thank God, the blessing is coming. And then especially when you just had a fire.
Oh, we're losing you.
Finally raining. And then the next thing, what's going on, or you get calls, and then, oh, my goodness. It was very perfect. Also because I had my wife who was in Los Angeles assuming that she was coming back home, and then that was changing. And so yeah, just a lot of things going on.
Were your kids with you or with your wife?
Yeah, she had the youngest one, but the other children were with me. And so we were never, thank God, our own family was never in any danger. Directly from it at any time,
like that. So it's not like you heard like a mile away or something like that. You heard this like tremendous crash or anything like that.
Right. No. You don't hear that. You just, it's just like a heavy rain. And it was, I believe even for the people hearing, around here, even for the people that were in it, it was not obvious. It was just kind of like, it just happened for them. It did happen like that suddenly, where it just kind of swept through the neighborhood.
Wow. Okay. So how did you hear that just a mile or so away from you, there was this catastrophe that happened?
I could have either been online, an email, maybe a phone. I don't remember. It just happened fast. It just kind of a deluge, not a good pun for that, but of information just coming that this is happening. And then, obviously, did I know anybody?
Mm-hmm. What about communication? Did like the communications go down? It's like people, like your cell phone was working and you were able to call people around?
Yeah, in the neighborhood itself, it knocked out the power and the communication went down. But actually, cell phones never went down, which was very helpful. But for most of us, again, there's just this difference of just a few miles of this complete chaos and destruction, and then just a few miles away is just like as if nothing happened at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what was your response then? You heard something happened, and as Chabad has want to do, is like, we're here, people need. What did the community need that you were able to provide, Rabbi Mendel Loschek?
Well, Baruch Hashem, most people heeded the call and did leave the neighborhood. So it was very, very empty. My first thing was to make sure people that we knew, people in our community, people, kind of friends, families, make sure that they were okay. And if they needed any help, and then I think we're kind of still right now, even till today, it's completely closed off, do not cross type of lines. So people don't even really know exactly what is going on. I mean, they might be going back to a house where it's completely destroyed or full of mud, or it could be completely fine. So people are staying away and obviously trying to just be support. People are evacuated, being able to connect them with other people that might be able to host them for the while till things settle down and they can go back and see what's going on.
Okay.
And just in general, being there. So, yeah, that's I guess, what we're trying to do here.
Okay. So on a scale of, say, 1 to 10, how normal is your daily routine right now?
It's definitely not normal. It's definitely different, and it's kind of like it's almost nonstop because we had the fire, which is literally almost as catastrophic. Maybe not as a shock and not as great of a shock, so maybe people were a little bit more aware of it. But still, just going straight from the fire, then that finally died and settled down, and then coming into this. So it's been one after another. It's not been the most normal of times here.
Okay. Have you been able to carry on normal, like, Chabad activities, or everything's just like, the city's just like stopped?
Yes and no. Yes and no. We're trying to be able to provide that. So Shabbos, for example, is coming up. So we're going to have a minyan, and it was a bar mitzvah. So they planned this 13 years ago. And that's going to happen. Mirza Hashem. But it's kind of, everything is much more subdued, and not everybody is up and running the way they normally would be. But we're trying. We're trying to keep everything going as much as we can, so that, you know, at least some sense of normalcy in the mishigas of what's going on over here.
Mm-hmm. What about, like, the public schools and stores and shops and whatnot?
So it depends where it is. And the closer you get, obviously, they're closed. In the area where I'm living right here, it's still open, and you just said the supply line, though, is starting to dwindle a little bit, as Los Angeles, which is a large city, and a lot of stuff comes from that area towards where we live, so they can't get through. So that's. But nothing. I don't think it's nothing too crazy. Thank God. And we also have going north to San Francisco. That's clear. So things are moving, just a bit slower maybe, but things are working.
Okay. And how long is it going to take them to clean up? Do they put the mud back on the mountain and hope it doesn't fall down again?
I don't know where exactly they put the mud, but they definitely they cart it off, and it's just like a nonstop. It's a huge undertaking. I mean, they keep on telling us that because everybody's kind of just wondering the exact same question, and especially people trying to move around, get back home, go somewhere that the road is closed. But they're really being overly cautious about it, and not a lot of information. And they say by Monday they should get at least the main freeway open, but now they're kind of saying maybe not. So right now they're kind of just keeping it a little bit up in the air of exactly when they're gonna, when they're gonna get it running again. But I think hopefully by next week sometime they should be able to get it going.
Okay, and hopefully we should hear good things from Santa Barbara. Our guest today has been Rabbi Mendel Loschek. His feet on the ground, boots on the ground, in Santa Barbara. And I hope we'll keep apprised. We'll keep looking, see what's doing over there, and keep us apprised then, please, Rabbi Loschek.
Well, thank you for your thoughts and doubting for us. And it should be all good. God willing, we should all share good news from now on.
Amen. Okay, thank you so much for taking the time. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Yes, our hearts and prayers go out to the people of Santa Barbara, and wow, you know, so I'm not, it's like, there's no point to complain about the weather, there's nothing you can do about it, but even if it's just like a little bit cold, like on Friday, and the temperature dropped like 30 degrees here in Michigan in just like, you know, a few short hours, and but that's nothing. But anyway, this is something. This is Benny Friedman. Benny Friedman, yeah, everybody knows, we've played him a zillion times. He came out now with a song. This is dedicated to his late uncle, Yehoshua Binyamin Gordon, who is actually somewhat of a friend of mine. His father was one who got me involved with Judaism, Schoenberg Gordon in New Jersey. So Yehoshua Gordon was a he was the Chabad rabbi of the Valley and 27 Chabad houses throughout that area. And the song is simply called Rabbi Yehoshua Omer.
Hu avinu, unser tatevet helfen sicher. Hu malkeinu, unser keinig is gräser von wel. Eloikeinu, Eloikeinu, der beschefer vet helfen sicher. Moishienu, Yoishienu, der beschefer vier doch die Welt. Malkeinu, unser König ist größer von Welt. Eloikeinu, Eloikeinu, der Beschefer wird helfen sicher. Moishienu, Yoishienu, der Beschefer wird doch die Welt.
Wie toll ich mehr zu, wie toll ich hoch so, wie toll ich hoch so, der Bischu oi mehr. move a muscle.
Hustle, you got to hustle, hustle. You got to hustle, hustle, hustle. Move a muscle, man, it's been the point. Hustle, you got to hustle, hustle. You got to hustle, hustle, hustle. Move a muscle, be in my center.
Hustle, hustle, move a muscle.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. I was digging around the Jewish Hour music archive down in the bowels of the beast and came up with this piece. I'm wondering, where has this piece been? This is actually pretty amazing. This is Yaakov Shapiro, and the piece is called My Yiddish Tata's Clarinet. Let's listen.
Klarinet für mir, tat ich spiel, die Bobbe mit den Seiden sei, hören sich zu. Scheiner bloß mein Tate New. Wenn ich her, das heimisch lieb, der Nigen macht mir auf dem Herzen geht, heute hat es ist er, gib er bloß, mein Tate kräum, der Seide mit der Bobbe tanzen schön. Spiel dem Nigen. Der Mond mir, wenn ich bin gewesen, nur drei. Tate, spiel die Mami her, los schön auf den Klarinett. Oh, Tate, Tate, sie geht. Noch am Mund, Tate, am Echai. Spiel, siz also schein, jeder kriegt zusammen Chaye fein, oi tate sisser, jeder bloß, tate mir gefällt, tate du bist einer auf der Welt. Tate, dich bist also schein, mule da, mule schein, tate spiel, fad ein Sinn, da da bist, die tate eis du sie. Tate, du bist der Künstler, am Echai, noch am Tate. Ai, 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 am Echai, noch am Tate. Am Echai, Tate, du bist der Künstler, noch am Tate. Oi, es ist gut, noch am Tate.
And that was Yaakov Shapiro. Coming up next, this is the part where I play something kind of like unusual, offbeat, avant-garde. Well, we went looking around again, had to do some research, kind of came around looking through and up and down and sideways. And this that I found, which is absolute gem, this is the FAU Klezmer Orchestra. FAU stands for Florida Atlantic University, which I believe is in Boca Raton, which is probably where many of you would like to be right now.
So this is the FAU Klezmer Orchestra, and this is called the Second Avenue Mamba. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Schulfinman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week, we read in the synagogue the portion of Bo. It's the shortest portion to say. It's only one syllable. There's not too many one syllables, but this is only two letters in Hebrew even. The portion has the last three plagues of the locust, darkness, and plague of the firstborn. The Passover, the actual story of the Exodus itself. There's a whole lead in. Chapter 12 is, I wouldn't call it a diversion, but it's the setup.
Moses is called, and God tells him, listen, you know, you guys are going to make a Passover Seder, and you're going to put the blood on the doorpost, yada, yada, the whole thing angel death. Before all that can happen, there's even a prelude to that, because they're told that on the 10th day of the month, you'll take a lamb, and on the 14th day, you'll slaughter the lamb, and you'll have a Passover, and on the 15th day of the month, you'll be leaving. There's only one problem. How do they know when the first day of the month is? Oh, so the Almighty said, listen, this is like one line. This is the first verse in chapter 12 of the book of Exodus. And just casually reading, which really Bible shouldn't be casually read, but in just casual reading, your eye just skips right over it. And what is this? This is the first month for you, and et cetera. So, but that's actually, there's a tremendous formulation of things going on over there. What happened? Let's give you the backstory. God tells Moses, listen, you guys are going out on the 15th day of the month, and before you can go out on the 15th day of the month, you have to know when the first day of the month is. And the calendar of the Jewish calendar is based on the cycles of the moon, which is very easy to follow, and the way it's set up, because the lunar cycle is about 30 days. It's 29 days, 12 hours, and a bunch of minutes and seconds. So Moses, so God says to Moses, okay, so it's easy. This way you just kind of, you look up at the sky, you'll see when it's a new moon, you'll see when it's a full moon. The new moon is day one. The full moon is day 15. The first half of the moon is day 7. And the second half of the moon cycle, when it's second half, is going to be day 21, and then you can divide it in there. So half moons are 7 and 21, and quarter moons are going to be 3, 10, et cetera, et cetera. You get the idea. So it's very easy. All you do is look up, and that's, of course, provided that it's not a cloudy day, which could be a bit of a problem because, okay, you just need to know when day one is and then keep track after that. You don't have to keep looking in the sky to see what day of the week, day of the month it is. So Moses was told, oh, by the way, there's going to be cloudy days and you're not going to be able to see the moon. So here's this whole way of calculating exactly when the new moon should be and where in the sky it should be when people see it. So this way, what they used to do during temple times is witnesses would come and say, we saw the new moon last night. And they would be interrogated. Where was this little tiny sliver of a crescent that you saw? What part of the moon was it on? Was it on the right side? Was it on the left side? Was it in the top, bottom, middle? And where was the moon in the sky when you saw it? Because it's always going to be, because it's like 29 days, 12 hours, and a certain amount of minutes, so it's always going to be just in like a little different place in the sky every single month. Just as I have never seen a new moon, because in Michigan, you can't. It is astronomically impossible to view the new moon, because the new moon will always occur either in the middle of the day, because we're so far north, or once the moon has already set, and it's already like below the western horizon, and it's gone out of view. So I have never seen a new moon. When I was, last time I was in Israel, so we actually left Israel on the night of the new moon, and I was really excited. I was going to say, I'm going to see a new moon. I was actually thinking this, but it was cloudy. Okay, it's not one of the things, it's still on my bucket list is to see the new moon, but it's still not happening so fast. So I'm not sure where in the United States you'd have to go, how far south. I mean, you might be talking like across the, like from South Carolina. I think Israel is on the same parallel as South Carolina, so along that whole thing over there. But I'm not making a special trip just to go see it. Nope, not happening. But what's the deal over here? There's a tremendous amount of philosophy that goes with the Jewish calendar being fixed according to the new moon. The moon cycle, as we call it in English, it waxes and it wanes. So we see the Jewish people as a whole waxed and waned, like during Moses' time. That's like, whoa, yay, cool. Okay, but then when you get into the book of the Judges, if you read the book of Judges, it's like, huh? And like things really just like fall through the floor. But then when you get to the book of Kings, which a couple hundred years later, you get like Solomon. It's like, da-da-da-da. And things are really like way good. But then you get to like Nebuchadnezzar and the Romans and, you know, it's just, but then in the middle you have the Maccabees and it's like, da-da-da-da again. And you have like the story of Purim. Yay. So it's like things are up, things are down, things are up, things are down. This is the way as a general, and I would say, thank God, in like comparison to world history and the history of what's been happening with the Jews in the last three millennia, we're kind of like up there. But where are we? If the full moon's at the 15th day of the month, we're like 14 late in the afternoon. Because things are good, yeah, it's nice, you know, it's like if almost the full moon, but it's not full until Mashiach comes at this point, with the coming of the advent of the Messiah. But it's also true in a person's daily life as well. You have ups and downs. My biggest down is actually waking up. I've talked about that before, which actually sounds very funny. My biggest down is getting up. But so we have our successes, and we have our opposites of successes. But what are we supposed to do is, just like when the moon is like mostly disappearing, it's not something to worry about. We don't go, oh no, the moon is disappearing. No. We say, well, the moon's going away, and you know what? It's going to come back again really soon. So in our personal lives, we are always looking for that next up. And you know what? Just like there's a full moon every month, so in our personal lives, in each and every single day, there's going to be that personal up. We're going to have that full moon. And when does the full moon come? It's in the middle between two new moons, two moons when it's black. So not to dwell, you can say, well, I'm at the new moon now, but there's going to be that new moon. It's going to be black. No. Always look and focus, because it's a very interesting thing. The vast majority of Jewish holidays, those are meaning times to celebrate, times to feel good, they're on the full moon. Passover, Sukkot, Tu B'Shvat, Tu B'Av. They're all on the full moon. I mean, and even Purim, Purim's actually on the 14th, but it's close enough. So even so the Almighty expects of us that we're going to have these good times. And He set it up in our calendar that it's going to be a good time. So even though things are up, things are down, but we're always going to be on the up. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Would you like to get in touch with me? People do every week. I'm so amazed. I'm just so humbled by it. Check out my website, rabbifinman.com, www.rabbifinman.com. And right on the homepage, you'll be able to contact me. Yep. And you contact me, I'll contact you. If you have a question, criticism, comment, query, whatever other Q word you want to put over there, that's fine. And just something interesting you want to talk about, you want to vent a spleen, okay, I'm good to vent out. So, and we'll also find archived editions of the show. We are, thank God, we have this wonderful service that comes to us from JCast Network. You should maybe check out their site too. They have lots of different podcasts and various different Jewish content things to listen to. And they've been able to archive our show last 2 years plus, I think, that you'll find it there. You could do a binge listen. You'll also find archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic U-Story, which are modalities in which yours truly presents Judaism in an interesting and brief way, but we emphasize more the interesting part more than the brief. You'll also find the donations page. We commented last week about how great it was that we're only 2 months back. So we only owe for December and January, and we still only owe for December and January. And we hope to take care of that, get that, you know, all settled up. And I've always make this thing. If we pay off January before the end of the month, then I don't talk about fundraising and you get a much longer story. And that's, you know, I'd rather be doing that. Because the Jewish Hour, although it is sponsored by, in part, by its sponsors, and they're a big help, believe me, but for 21 years, we're going on 22 years, this March 4th, I think, is the anniversary of our show, 22 years, I might as well call it that already, 22 years we're on air. It has always been because people like yourself who are listening have stepped up. We were doing this before the age of computer giving, and people were mailing in those checks and money orders and whatnot, kept the station afloat. Now it's easier than that. You don't need a stamp even. Doesn't cost a thing. You just go to the computer, you go to rabbifinman.com, you go to the donations page, you click on an amount, or you go to the bottom where it says amount, and you click on that and you enter in whatever number between one and infinity you'd like to add. Into that, you click, you pay the button, you push the buttons. If you have PayPal, it'll take you 30 seconds. If you have to do it by credit card, it'll take you about 3 minutes, maybe less, depending if you know your credit card number well enough. It's all safe, secure. Again, it's by through PayPal. If you're not into internet giving, I can understand that. That's well. Send your donation to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. And we'll be glad, you'll be glad you did, because you'll be able to listen to The Jewish Hour into its 22nd year. And I'll be talking about the 23rd year about the same time next year. Let's go on. What's going on in Jewish Ferndale? Actually, coming up, put these on your calendar. This Thursday, which I believe is the 18th of February. By the way, this last week we had a mommy and me, which was very nice. Cute little kitties, mommies. The next one will be somewhere around February 15th, I think. Somewhere around there. But we'll keep you posted. And check the website, jewishferndale.com. So, coming up this January 18th will be in the Center for Jewish Creativity will be having a Zentangle seminar with Zentangle expert Samantha Wunderlich, and that'll be in the center there, located on the 1725 Pinecrest property. It is, if you don't know what Zentangle is, go online. It's actually quite fantastic. It's a way of relaxation through art. It's like two things going on simultaneously. Then also put down on your calendar, January 28th at 8 p.m., Jewish Ferndale is participating with the Ferndale Blues Festival. We'll be featuring David Nefesh, and the headliner will be Ethan Davidson. It's 8 o'clock, and it's a $10 cover charge. This is a recovery-friendly
function as part of the Jewish Ferndale. Most of the Ferndale Blues Festivals are held in bars. But people don't want to go to a bar. That's great. I don't like hanging around in bars. So this is a non-bar atmosphere. It's in my day, we called it a coffee house. But when you talk to people today and you say, we're having a coffee house, they think so you can drink coffee. You know, so, but you get the idea if you know what a coffee house is. People will be playing music and people will be able to chat and listen and we'll have light refreshments. It's $10. That's the 28th at 8 p.m. On February 1st, which is the following Thursday, the Ferndale Blues Festival continues. We're doing something a little different. We'll be having a Jewish story corps. People will stand up and they will tell their Jewish story, accompanied by the Saul Anthony Ensemble, which is a trio. And it'll be in a blues fashion. Again, the same thing, $10, no alcohol out of the deal, but very relaxed. And we have a headliner who is still trying final things with him, and we'll talk about that next week. And but that's also great. Then, February 4th in this country is known as Super Bowl Sunday. And it's a big deal to go to parties. But there's something like some people just don't care about the Super Bowl. Not the game, not the commercial, but who doesn't like a party? So Jewish Ferndale is having a non-Super Bowl party. That'll be at 7 o'clock at 1725 Pinecrest. And it'll be Jewish trivia night. You don't need to know a whole lot about Judaism. You know, everybody says there'll be prizes, it'll be a great time, it'll be food, it'll be just a hoot. Just come on down for that. And that'll be by donation, however much you'd like to contribute. And that's what. Anything else, you know, just take a look at the calendar at jewishferndale.com. Enough talk. Let's talk about the story. 1943, the then Lubavitcher Rebbe, who we refer to as the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Joseph Schneerson, who was the father-in-law of Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, asked that the students, the yeshiva students who were learning in 770, learn how to read the Torah. There is specific pronunciation and specific cantillation for reading the Torah. It takes practice. I love doing it. I don't have the time to actually put in to be able to do it properly, but it is a tremendous skill. And the cantillation is actually called tamim in Hebrew, which means makes it taste good. So it's done right. It's terrific. So he encouraged them, and that way they could do the reading of the Torah, which usually they would charge for it. And the Rebbe said, don't charge for it. Offer the service for free, and then offer to give a speech. And that way they would give speeches about what was going on within the realm of Hasidic philosophy. And it worked very well. There was one student whose name was Mendel Baumgarten, lives in Crown Heights, and he would go to a synagogue in Brownsville, which is the next neighborhood over. In that time, in the 40s, Brownsville was a very Jewish neighborhood. There was a smaller synagogue. There was one person in this synagogue that was really antagonistic to Hasidim and Lubavitch and this. And every time this Mendel Baumgarten would say anything about Hasidim, so he would badmouth it. He'd like sneer at it. He'd just had to make fun of it. What happened? He had a relative, this person who was jeering at this young man, had a relative who unfortunately developed cancer. People didn't have health insurance back in the 1940s, and people didn't survive cancer generally. There wasn't a whole lot they could do for them. But quite miraculously, this person did survive. But they depleted the finances of the entire family, including this man who was a wealthy man, but now he was left really impoverished, such that he wanted to put in an appeal letter to help him out to pay for the medical bills, but he couldn't afford the classified ad in the paper at that time. The Yiddish paper at that time was called the Morgen Journal. It merged with another paper and became the Allgemeiner Journal, which is still in existence.
He couldn't afford. All he could afford was Ayid Darf Parnassa, Shiktsu, and he gave the address, which means a Jew needs financial help. Send money to this and this address. That's all he could put. Said no one answered the call except a letter came one day from the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe. And in it was a nice sum of cash. The man at that point stood up on the following Shabbos before the reading of the Torah and said, I need to make a public apology for all of the things that I've said, because this Lubavitcher Rebbe is a true leader who cares about every single person. That's going to do it. Thank you so much for tuning in. Glad we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we educated you a bit. We hope you have a great week. See you next week. Take care. בארץ החיים זעקתי אליך.